Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Wake Up Hollywood is back. Nikhil's in traffic, apparently. I'm with our guest, Jamie Kaler.
I love when people
use famous Jamie Kaler.
Traffic. I can't hear myself, so these
you
cans
can't. Oh, wait. Now?
Yeah. Barely.
Hold
barely.
On.
Can
Hold
you
on.
Turn me up a little bit?
Let's
yeah.
See.
Give me a little volume.
There?
Too much.
Too much volume?
Bring it down.
Turn
bring
the cans down?
It's always good to do a sound check live on
That's what we do here. We peel back the
Here's
curtain.
What I like. It's almost like a, you know, that's the generation. It's like a Snapchat vibe where there's nothing, nobody polishes anything.
The magic is gone.
Cuts
no
and
one,
edits. They,
no one wants.
They just want to be live. Like, I just want to be part of Kanye's life. Yeah. I don't want to listen to his albums. Yeah. I want to be him.
That's like half of Kevin Hart's thing. It's like his entire social media existence is his career, basically. I mean, now he
I
has movies
wanted to
and
work
stuff,
that hard, dude.
I don't want that type of responsibility where I feel like I have to constantly document my life.
I want Ted Danson's career. I just want people to write lines
that would
for
be
me.
A nice career.
I'll be witty and charming. I'll say them.
Just show up on set.
Except for the I slept with Whoopi Goldberg part.
Well, we all.
If you could edit that part out of Ted Danson's life, I think Ted Danson might have lived the greatest life in the history of man.
But that was, what, late 80s when that happened? Or was that early 90s?
The Whoopi Goldberg thing? I don't think he bounced back from that.
I mean, but that was just a weird time. People were doing weird shit back then.
You mean like the spin doctors? Yeah,
yeah
it was
I mean,
a crazy
people, it was
time.
A nutty time.
Well, he did blackface at some party, so obviously some bad stuff happened.
There was a lot of cocaine back in
yeah,
the day.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen You Spin Me Right Round, like a record right round. So you know some weird stuff was happening. It was like, is it a guy? Is it a girl? Back then, there wasn't transgender. Nobody cared. It was just like, oh, that guy's a rock star.
Yeah. He's
celebrity. Now it's like, oh, he's peeing in a urinal next to me. I don't want to be next to him.
Yeah.
What do you care, man? Who's just
peeing? And it's even more open now than before, but yeah. Now I mean, people care more about it.
Like they care too much.
Yeah.
Why do people give
I
a
don't
shit?
Know.
Here's anytime a guy stands up and goes like, "I am against what that guy's doing," it usually means he wants to be doing what that guy's doing,
but he can't let himself do it.
No, because he's been raised in some home where they just go, "Yeah, you're not gonna."
Because otherwise,
you need
do
to go to a
shit?
Camp in upstate Indiana.
Why do you give a shit?
And learn not to be gay.
Well, to needs to learn behavior.
You know,
obviously.
At a camp.
It's
at a camp.
Learned
it's like
behavior.
They would go like, oh, we're going canoeing, and then we're going to make dream catchers.
Let's put you
and
at a
then
camp with all the people you're
women.
Attracted to.
And then we're going to try to get... Yeah, let's take a bunch of guys who are really confused about their sexuality. Let's put them in a cabin by a lake and do some...
Barely supervise.
Do some archery
let's
work.
Barely supervise them.
God will take over. I'm sure God will fix that mess.
Oh, so what have you been up to, Jamie?
I drove over here. I have two kids. We went to Pizza Rev tonight for $6
pizza. Pizza Rev's good.
$6 pizzas on Tuesday, by the way. And I'm not a shill. I'm not under Pizza Rev's banner. It's not like they're sponsoring me.
Right.
Although, I mean, if they wanted
you'd
to.
You'd take it.
I would take
I'd
that
wear
in a heartbeat.
The patch on my shirt.
But we go Tuesdays. Most Tuesdays we go with the two kids and do $6 pizzas. And the kids split a $6 pizza.
Yeah, I take my kid to Hooters every Sunday.
Why wouldn't you?
Kids eat free.
Get some wings.
Kids eat free.
You get to see some chick in weird orange shorts that aren't even attractive on
no,
hot chicks.
Not even. No, you couldn't put anyone in that outfit and make it look good with the thick brown hose.
Oh my
pantyhose.
God! To a point where you're like, that's impenetrable.
It's like wear jeans. Jeans would be better looking than these hose right now.
Yeah, that's a terrible.
But
like even dry humping, those things would be a fire hazard. I need more sound. My ears, I can't hear them.
More, turn the cans up?
You turn my cans up just a scooch.
There?
Just a scooch.
There.
So I see your partner takes this show extremely seriously.
Yeah. He's right on time.
That's too much. A little though.
Duck. Can't.
I mean, I should right in the middle. That's good.
There. Yeah. Perfect.
That's perfect.
I assume he's not here because of the big fire at the Quanga Pass today.
But I assume that nobody's listening.
I live under that assumption.
Well, let's see if
my
can
entire
we
career
test
is
it.
Based
can
on
we
that
test
assumption.
The model?
Let's test it. If you're listening, call in
give
right
your
now.
Phone number out.
Call right.
Oh, is there a phone number?
There's a phone number. We can take live
Shut
calls.
Shut up.
818-602-4929.
Trust me.
If you want to talk to Jamie Kaler.
Nobody has the balls
of my boys fame on
sure,
TBS.
My boys. I was on an episode of Renegade. I did Saved by the
you
Bell.
Did
the
Friends.
New class. I was on Friends.
You were on Friends. I remember
I
that episode.
On Will and Grace. I did King of Queens. I did.
This guy's been around. You should call and talk to him.
Inside Schwartz. I did, what was the one with Donald Logue? I forget.
There's
I
been
did,
so many.
Just go How to I Met Your Mother.
What haven't you done? Let's list what haven't
Let's
you done.
Let's list the shows I haven't done.
And then
done.
Call in and talk to them, because I dare you.
They don't have the balls.
818
nobody will call and talk to me about Hollywood.
4929.
Hey!
Hey!
Oh, time! Where the hell have you been?
Trying to take my job?
Nikhil showed up.
Honestly, too late. You've been fired.
Yeah. We're taking over.
He showed up with a Dave Matthews Band Crash t-shirt, which, by the way, I love.
Dude, I love that. That album just came in.
You guys are already hitting it off.
See that? Are you from Virginia?
I'm the king of the castle. You're the dirty rascal.
That's right, Eddie.
Crash
you are
into me.
The dirty rascal.
I just fucking banged out some Dave Matthews.
But that song's about puss, right?
Yeah.
Most of his songs are
actually,
about
puss. Actually, it's about a stalker.
Well, it's like lift up your skirt and show your world to me.
Oh, I thought it was about a transgender.
That's puss, right?
Are you asking me or telling me, Eddie?
I think it's a dude dressed as a chick. Hanging out down by the donut shop on Santa Monica Boulevard by...
Oh, like the Eddie Murphy deal.
Yes!
Okay.
So that's what he wrote
song about Eddie Murphy.
That's what I felt like.
Okay. That makes sense.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for showing up.
Thank you.
Thanks for showing up to your own show, Nikhil.
You know what? He's smart.
I'm going to be late to my own funeral.
He made an entrance.
No one's coming to your funeral anyway, so...
Thanks, Eddie.
I'm busy.
You're not going to come?
No, I can't.
I don't go to funerals.
I'm very busy that day.
Eddie's going to die before me anyways.
Yeah.
I'm going to die on the way home.
My friend and I, Buter and I have a bet. He wouldn't take it, actually. I bet him $5,000 he'd die before me.
That's a terrible bet.
He wouldn't take it?
It's a great bet. I said, listen, here's the great thing. Both guys put $5,000 into an account.
Mike Buter was your co-star in My Voice.
That's right.
Everybody.
He played Kenny.
We both put
$5,000 in an account. So that way, when one guy dies, the other guy's like, oh, my God, my friend's dead. But I just...
vacation time.
I have $10,000 in my pocket. It's a
win-lose for somebody.
Listen, as opposed to a lose-lose situation, it's a win-lose situation.
Might as well have some bright side to your friend
He
dying.
Laughed, actually, because he wouldn't take the bet, but I put him in my will.
Well, that's nice.
How'd you do that?
We made a trust with the kids. My wife she goes, what are you doing? I go, it's a running gag. She goes, we have kids. There's no joking with wills. I said, I put $5,000 in Buten's name in my trust.
That's hilarious.
That's pretty funny,
That's
right?
pretty funny.
So if I do die, he's going to get a check for $5,000, but I honestly...
And then he'll cry because
he's
a middle-aged Jewish guy. He doesn't have any $5,000 to give anyway, but...
If I had $5,000, I'd take that bet. I don't have
$5,000. And I'm spotting him 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm 5 years older than him, and he still wouldn't take the bet.
Wait, so you put it in your will, but he hasn't put it in his?
I did it as a joke, only knowing he's going to die before me, so he'll never claim it. He's gonna.
You should have put that $5,000 in an annuity.
I told him, and I snapped it. Yeah, I didn't blow it up.
So blow it up. So when someone does die, that person is just like, yeah,
yeah.
Word.
Nobody has anyone called.
No, they're talking.
You want me to be the first call?
Yeah.
I was almost gonna. Be
we
the
were
first
talking call. Before the show. Us telling what the numbers we get every month, how many listeners we have. And I have my reservations about
Trust me, bro. Trust me, bro. Your numbers are huge.
You're huge.
The kill thing, sir.
You know what
sir.
The crazy thing is? So here's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago when you were gone, we had a caller that called in. And
long-time listener.
Long-time listener. And you know what you know what he said? You know what he said? He went on this huge Trump, like, you know.
Of course he did.
Pro-Trump or anti-Trump?
What other
pro-Trump
insane person would you call
him? No, but he was actually cool. He was actually really cool about it. He's like, I don't know what to think, but at least Trump is, you know, kind of upfront with his views.
No, he's not.
He's the least upfront person with his views. Well, what I'm saying is.
But he's at least very humble, and he'll be sure to tell you that.
Oh, my God. I hate when people say that about him.
Well,
he's
I'm just
not.
Saying. So we were just entertaining his, you know, his rant. And then afterwards, he was like, well, thanks for hearing me out. You know, he's like, I got your information for your show from Cindy Olson, who's a huge fan of Wake Up Hollywood. And I was like,
we have a huge fan.
She's like, from the Brady.
That's who it is.
Cindy Olsen, like, from the Brady Bunch.
Why do I know that name?
That's crazy.
And my buddy Josh is like, she's Cindy Brady.
She's Cindy Brady.
So Cindy Brady's a huge fan of our show.
Oh, there we
go. Boom.
How old am I that I knew?
How you like me now?
Well, Cindy Olsen, if you're listening, call in. 818. 6-0.
Well, right now, on the spot.
Right now, Cindy Olsen is trying to scoot 12 cats away from the from her old landline phone, rotary phone. I've got to get to the phone, Mr. Kittles.
Kitty,
get away
from
the phone.
So how do you two know each other?
I've known him longer than probably I've known you.
Yeah.
Well, do you want me to... That hurts.
We've all known each other.
Why does it hurt? It's just time. It's just time.
It's time we can't get back.
Who's going to die first?
It's time we can't get back.
Not me. I got to tell you, honestly, and this is... People used to think I'm joking.
Very old man.
I'm a fucking Highlander. I'm not joking.
He doesn't age. He doesn't age.
I seriously think I'm going to live forever, and then at the end there'll be a quickening. I'm not great with swords.
You get your head cut off.
So eventually, I feel like I'm going.
But there's a picture of you taken in 1915 where you look exactly the way you look right now,
dude.
Sans beard.
I remember it really well.
That's crazy.
You're the guy who gave the Indians the blankets.
Hey.
They needed them.
I just wanted to say
the Native Americans, not the Indians.
I know. I thought you meant
the people from India.
For New York. When we bought New York for blankets.
Isn't that
and beads.
Still? I mean, it still makes me laugh so hard that they thought they were in India, so they named them Indians.
Indians.
And then when they realized they weren't in India, they were like, "Yeah, we'll keep Indians."
I don't want to rename them.
Nah, it's fucked up. Let's just keep Indians.
Let's keep them like that forever.
Has there ever been something with just been horribly named, and then people were like? Oh, that was a terrible mistake. But you know what? It's too much work to change it.
Let's keep it. I don't know. Maybe Blow Pops?
Blow Pops is the perfect name.
Yeah, Blow Pops actually, that's an onomatopoeia.
I would have called it Bubble Pop.
Is it a it is. Blow? No, it's not.
I don't know. Zoom is, right?
No. Oh. Onomatopoeia is spelled backwards and forwards the same
No.
What's onomatopoeia? That's a palindrome.
That's a palindrome. Because my daughter's name, Hannah, is a palindrome.
Okay.
Onomatopoeia is when the word sounds like it should. Like boom.
Yeah, like snap.
Snap, yeah.
Boom, yeah. Batman.
It's like a word that makes sense phonetically.
Yes. How did you not know that?
Like blow pop.
I knew what palindrome was.
Blow pop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I knew what a palindrome was.
Yeah, you did.
Seriously.
Yeah.
But you
What's
didn't
alliteration?
Know onomatopoeia.
Alliteration?
That's when Peter Piper picked a peck of paper.
Yeah! He can show up and you have to be on time.
Oh, I found it. You know what? I found
still
your weakness,
nobody
Mr.
listening.
Geography. Maybe you got to go back to
nobody's listening.
Seriously. Wait,
does it make you feel bad that somebody not born in this country knows English better than you do?
You don't even know all the states. You knew four states on our map challenge.
Where were you born?
But I was born in Canada. I'm from
Canada.
India. Like, listen. I came to this country.
Where in Canada were you born?
St. John's, Newfoundland.
That's where my family's from.
No, don't lie.
No, seriously.
Where is it?
The Kalers.
Where is it?
That is the far east coast.
Dude.
Up the
dude.
Up the ding-dong up there.
Hey, yeah, no, it's not
that's
up any
where,
ding-dong.
That's where the Titanic people all ended up.
Is that true?
No. Yeah, that when they came in after the rescue.
That's where they left them? That's where they abandoned them?
Yeah, my family came in through there from Ireland.
That's crazy.
That's where they landed first, and then we ended up down in Boston.
It's a cold place. I want to go there. Like,
well,
I haven't been
so
there.
It's newfound.
Newfoundland. St. John's.
We found it. It's land.
Yeah.
And let's get the
and it's
fuck
new.
Out of here. It's cold.
Big Fisherman
let's
Town.
Never change the name.
Big Fisherman Town.
Well, there's not much else to do there.
Yeah,
there's an ocean.
Did you grow up in Boston?
I grew up in New Hampshire.
Where in New Hampshire?
Oh, where in New Hampshire?
Manch Vegas.
Manchester?
Manchester.
I love Manchester.
Shut up.
I swear to God, I love... Dude.
I was just in Newfields.
The guy that put a guitar...
There's an airport now there.
No, seriously. No, well that's...
I'm from Hooksett, but I went to high school in Manch.
Okay, so the guy who put a guitar in my hand and said, you need to start a band.
Sure.
Who has now passed away, unfortunately. He is from Manchester, so for his five-year anniversary, I went to Manchester to see where he grew up. And I fell in love with Manchester, New Hampshire. I mean, it is
on the Merrimack
crazy.
River. It's a mill town.
Yeah, I was just there. I was in Newfields 2 weeks ago.
That's crazy.
You know, is there McKinney? Exeter. Justin McKinney is a big Manch guy.
Yeah.
Manchester, New Hampshire has the best corn I've ever had and the best blueberry pie I've ever had. So kudos.
Well, I mean, I think the ingredients. Nah. Whoever cooked that pie probably made the pie, but it's
you could put.
I mean,
you
it's
could,
not like the New Hampshire.
Well,
state
but
pie.
Corn. What about corn?
I grew up, you know what's funny? I grew up next to a cornfield.
Of course you did.
But they would use that cornfield to feed livestock. So they would just, they never picked the corn off the stalks.
They just threw it.
Just ground the whole thing and grind it. And then it was
a
feed.
Waste. What a waste.
Did you see any UFOs growing up there?
Yeah, of course I did.
It's a big UFO place.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's where the first close encounter of the third kind was.
No, seriously, I got taken.
No, you did?
Yeah, I got prodded. They were gentle, and it was all cool, and they're definitely out there.
And they gave you eternal life?
Of course. They made me a Highlander. I mean, I feel like you're born a Highlander.
So wait. So you were in Manchester, New Hampshire, and yeah. I was like, you were just like, I want to make people laugh. You were like,
he's never wanted to make anyone laugh.
Dream.
No. My goal was to
drama.
How much money can I make for the littlest amount of work possible?
That's my philosophy.
And acting was it.
I'm horrible. You're like, at it. I can just do this.
I'm originally from New Hampshire.
Did you start comedy in Boston?
No, I went to Boston University on a ROTC scholarship, and then I served in the United States Navy.
What's a ROTC scholarship?
ROTC, Reserve Officer Training Corps.
Did you have the mustache and everything in the Navy, didn't you?
I grew a mustache for a little bit, but it's a joke more than anything.
Like Magnum P.I. style?
Sure, yeah.
Nicely done.
And then I had one whole episode for an hour. I was floating on a surfboard way away from shore, and I was remembering my days in Vietnam. It was SEAL training and stuff, but that was just a random. And then the one dude with the kind of gay English accent, Higgins. He came in at the end, and I think he saves me. I forget how the episode goes.
Eddie kind of reminds me of Higgins
a little bit. Very much so.
I wish I was Higgins.
I think in the shape of his body.
Yeah,
more in his personality.
Both.
I don't know. You're not making me feel bad. I want to be Higgins.
Well, by the way, Eddie, it's good to see you back. You've been kind of all over the map.
I've been out.
Yeah.
We missed your birthday.
Missed my birthday.
Where were you, man?
Yeah, what did you do for your birthday?
I was in Exeter, New Hampshire.
Doing what?
Lucky.
In-laws live there.
Awesome.
The in-laws
live
there.
Wait, you spent your birthday with your in-laws?
That's a richy rich town. Are your in-laws
rich? Well, they're in Newfields.
Oh, that's poor town.
Which is not the rich part.
No, that's a shit town.
Yeah.
That's like
way to shit on his.
Oh, that's where they were walking. Like, oh, a field. This we never seen this field before. This is the new field.
All the pipes from Phillips Exeter Academy, they dump.
Yeah, they dump in the new
field. That's where they drop in Newfield.
It's a garbage hole. It's a garbage.
You know those places that are.
That's where you spent your birthday.
Yeah,
it's all pig waste, and then the pig waste gets into the river, and then people have like third arms growing out of their body.
That's Newfield.
That's Newfield. Yeah,
that sounds terrible.
They had a
third arm because sometimes
they had a vote last year. Whether or not they wanted to disband their police department and just have the neighboring town's police department come over and patrol their town. Because that's what you do there. Live free or die. Live free or die.
Yeah.
Well, is there like no crime there?
That's why I left.
No, there's nothing there.
Because they go live free or die, and I go, to be honest with you, I need some more choices.
Yeah. There's more to life than live free or dying.
No, I don't.
You're like,
I don't need to live totally free.
I'll choose D, all of the above.
Some taxes are good. They pay for schools and roads, and let's be
so
normal.
So what did you do for your birthday? Did you do anything fun?
I didn't do dick. I don't know. I'm going to dinner.
I don't
care about birthdays. Birthdays mean nothing.
They don't mean anything. Once you have children, you don't have kids, obviously. I can tell from your necklace.
How old are you?
No, he doesn't have kids.
38. Are you 38?
He has a bulldog.
I have a bulldog.
That doesn't count.
That's my boy. It does if you saw him.
No, it doesn't. No. I have a puggle and two children. Your bulldog's nothing.
No.
I mean,
I
like your bulldog.
No.
It's fine.
No. Yeah. I mean, I had a dog before kids, and I was like, I thought at the time, like, this is a lot of responsibility.
We had a dog too, and now, like, he lives in the backyard.
Dogs are like dogs are like kids, but way more fun.
No,
I used to think
less
that.
Fun, but they're less work.
I used to think
they're less work for sure.
Dogs are nothing like children.
You can't leave a kid in a house and just leave.
Yeah, I know. That's pro dog.
Oh, trust me,
that's dog right there.
Know.
All right, now give me pro kid versus pro dog.
I got nothing.
Eddie?
I mean, the hope is
Colton's going to listen to this later.
I have two little girls.
As a disgruntled teenager, and be like, Daddy never loved me.
Well, you do have two.
They're kind of
girls. Are they daddy
kind
girls?
Of like a retirement plan that, in the hopes that when I'm old and feeble, they'll come and take care of me a little bit.
Yeah, but really? Is that really
I'm hoping Colton's a retirement plan for me. I don't know. Because the way I'm going, I don't have a retirement.
No.
I'm living.
So you're gonna count on...
What's the pension plan with the stand-up comedy world? How's that work out?
It's the same as it's always been. It's McDonald's, great. I think, has a better pension plan.
Well, they have a pension plan.
They have a pension plan.
So, yeah.
Well, how did you get into comedy? Let's talk real talk, real talk.
I was always the funny guy, and so finally I got over my fear and I wrote, same as everybody else, I finally stopped being the dick in the audience. Anytime you see a heckler in the audience, you're like, you just want to be a comic, but you don't have the balls to do it.
That's a good way to call them out.
Oh, my God. It's every, because listen, I never thought I was being a dick when I was there, but I wanted to be the funny guy, but I didn't have the balls, and so finally I wrote some jokes and I got on stage and I ate a giant pile of shit.
Everyone does.
And then I got back on. Except for apparently Dave Chappelle killed from minute one.
He's never not killed.
That's what somebody said.
Really?
Literally,
never
as a kid,
not
walked on stage and destroyed.
Wait. But I heard that he started on the streets and he was like a crackhead and he was like doing stand up routines on the street for money, for crack. And somebody was like, you need to do this for
But I can't imagine.
At 14 years old?
Yeah, young, like super young.
But I can't imagine. I can't imagine any, like, I don't care how great the comedian, I can't imagine that being one show where you just don't eat a big dick. I just can't imagine. There's not some show where you have not eaten some of it.
Yes. Yeah, early on,
at
he
some
must
point.
Have had a show.
He must have.
In.
Everybody
yeah,
has.
Fucked up, where he just stumbled through. Like I've seen, we've all seen bands where you're like, well, that guy's fucked up.
Yeah.
That show's a disaster.
Yeah.
I saw the Ramones back in, I don't know, it's early, 81 maybe, 70, 80, 81, and they played for 22 minutes. Joey Ramone fell the fuck down. They
really?
Played, although in the 22 minutes, they did play like 35 songs. It was pretty great.
That's a lot of cocaine.
22 minutes.
A lot of cocaine.
And Joey Ramone was hanging onto the mic stand, and we were like, they went on way late. They played like 22 minutes. He fell down. The roadies carried him off, and that was the end of the show.
Wow.
And, like, and honestly, I was like, oh, pretty good show.
That's good, solid.
On, a,
solid
on an opposing note, just recently I saw Bruce Springsteen play 4 hours, and I'm like, I have a wife, and there's a babysitter watching my kids, and I'm like, dude,
Rabbit
nobody needs to hear
up.
The fucking river dude, beginning to end.
Dude.
Play an hour and a half of your greatest shit and get off the stage,
I agree.
Dick.
I played Bonnaroo. I played Bonnaroo, and he was one of the headliners. And I was so looking forward to Bruce Springsteen because everybody raves about Bruce Springsteen.
He is great. He's great.
But yeah, but I saw him, and honestly, for 3.5 hours, I was like, I feel like I'm watching Rolf from the Muppets do a concert because his voice sounded just like Rolf from
well,
the Muppets.
After 3.5 hours, your voice is going to be shit.
He's,
yeah, but,
he's
but dude, there's
well
no
he
need.
Good.
There's no need to play a 3.5-4-hour
no,
set.
No, there's not.
There's
it's
absolutely
also
no
so
reason.
Polished. It, you know, when
it's
he was
so indulgent.
Younger, it was like there was some witty banter on stage or some play. Now it's, you know, you go see these big shows, and it's so choreographed.
Yeah.
That guy knows at one point he has to walk over to the lead guitarist, share a smile, touch, lean back to back.
Right.
You're like, that's a Broadway play, dude.
Yeah.
There's no...
yeah, the spontaneity's gone.
The spontaneity is gone. But they can't because there's all these crazy effects and giant screens and stuff.
Right.
And saw U2, which was amazing at the
that's
Forum.
That's a great band.
And they had the giant lighting thing. They walked up in.
Yeah.
Crazy. Like the size of an airplane hangar. And they walk up in it, and it's all lit up, and it shows videos on the screen and whatever.
You saw the last tour, or are you talking
I've seen,
the
yeah,
Claw
I,
tour?
I just saw the last one, but I've seen like every...
I saw them at Sable Center, I think, 2006 or 2005.
So good.
2005.
But it is a polished show.
That's a good tour.
It's I've a polished show. But it's so good. It's just so good.
I saw Sting and Peter Gabriel like 2 nights ago. That was a hell of a show. But somebody told me that they saw the original Amnesty International with Peter Gabriel, Sting, and U2 as the headliner. You saw that show?
I saw that.
Damn.
That was eons ago.
That would have
been that was the first time I saw Peter Gabriel, and he had these two lights that attacked him like dinosaurs, where he was like, he would cower. As the light would come down like a T-Rex, it was. I was like, holy shit. And then he had a
I'm
big inflatable ball,
right,
and he would walk out in the crowd on it and stuff.
He's
and,
badass.
I saw Gabriel's one of my favorite shows ever. I saw him at the Hollywood Bowl, maybe.
That's where I saw him. I saw him in
Sting. I didn't just see
it.
I saw
crazy.
The Police at the Hollywood Bowl, too.
I saw, but Sting did, like, Shock the Monkey.
That's
and then
heard.
Peter Gabriel did "If I No No If You Love Somebody Set Them Free," like they switched songs, they did songs together.
Both of their
was,
voices
like,
are so good.
Oh, dude, they're so good,
yeah.
And their bands,
yeah,
their sick. Bands are insane, dude.
I saw him with the Philharmonic at the
I
Hollywood
saw that.
Bowl.
I saw that
the
I
Peter Gabriel one where he did the cover album first, and then came out. That was one of my favorite shows I've ever
it
seen.
It was good, but I saw. Sting
I love
do
that
the same
album.
Thing,
do you like
Sting's
that cover album?
Better. Yes,
I love that. Oh, I like Peter Gabriel better than I like Sting.
But did you see Symphonicities?
No, but I saw The Police at the Bowl. And I was a big Police fan, but not a huge. And then after that show, I was like, no, actually, they're pretty.
They're amazing. And it's three dudes.
It's three guys. And you're like, where is that music coming from? Yeah, they're all crazy musicians.
Yes, yeah. I agree. I like this guy, Eddie.
Kind of a Rush.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
I'm going to take off.
Well, good.
Oh, Eddie, I thought you were going to Newfield.
No, I'm just
Eddie, honestly, I think all of us should take off because nobody's listening.
That's true.
What's the number?
Give a number.
818-602-4929.
Are you like pushing people?
I'm challenging now people to call in.
Oh, wow. You're like mean. You're like,
I want to know who's listening.
Well, you're like bullying.
No, honestly, I want to know who's listening. Who? Give the number again.
818-602-4929. We have a legitimate Hollywood person here.
All right, legitimate Hollywood person.
Who acts in tons of TV shows.
Dude, I live in Studio City.
I saw you were... Are you in Spanglish? Did you write that? I am in Spanglish.
I am in it for about, I'm going to say, 10 to 15 seconds. It's pretty tight. I give a dirty look at Paz Vega, like I want to have sex with her. And I worked for one day with James... L. Brooks, he was the director.
Yeah.
James Brooks was the director. He was amazing. I didn't know
James Brooks did that?
It was the same guy.
The actor?
No. That's Albert Brooks. Who, by the way, is so good in Concussion, which I just watched the other night.
I never saw Concussion.
I never saw it either until the other night. It was on TV, and I was like, eh. And I watched it, and I was like, you know what?
He's good in The Life of Pets.
It's a pretty good movie.
I heard mixed reviews about that movie.
Life of Pets, I liked.
Yeah, Albert Brooks was the Hawk.
Albert Brooks is great in that crazy one with Bryan Cranston where he's the bad guy.
Which one is that?
I forget.
Let's talk about your career. Let's not talk about Albert Brooks' career.
Yeah, but Albert Brooks is amazing.
Do you know Albert Brooks' real name?
Is Johan.
Jamie Kaler.
Albert Einstein.
No, it's not.
It is. He changed it.
What?
Google it.
Really?
It's true. That's actually true.
Is that actually true?
I think it is true, yeah.
You think it's true?
I'm pretty sure it's true. And Michael Keaton's real name
is Albert Brooks.
Is Michael Douglas.
No, it's not.
I feel like it is.
You feel like
it is. Tony Curtis's real name is Bernie Schwartz.
Now you just
we're in the era of Trump, so all you need is feelings.
Google it.
You don't need facts.
Albert Brooks is Albert Einstein. Because his brother...
Yeah, Albert Lawrence Brooks was born Albert Lawrence Einstein.
Wow. And his brother's Super Dave.
Why would your parents name you Albert if your last name was Einstein?
Like a curse,
Dave Osborne is Albert Brooks' brother. And Michael Keaton is Michael Douglas, but he couldn't get into SAG without changing his name.
Wow. How do
you my name is dirt? My real name is actually Jamie Kaler.
Nice.
Didn't change it. Well, actually, when I first came to Hollywood, I thought I was being cool, and I thought James Kaler had a better sound to it. So I went with James Kaler on my first headshots, and I was like, I was James Kaler. And every audition I would go to, they would walk out, and they would go, James? And I'd never responded because I didn't know.
How many did you miss?
I know I was sitting there and forever. I was like, I just got so fed up with it.
Did you end every audition with, hey, thanks, that was Kaler.
Hey,
Kaler out.
I'd go Kaler out, and then I usually flip the table over.
Nice.
On my way out the door.
Good dramatic exit.
And that's how you got my boys.
And that is how I got my boys. I flipped the table over.
We'll talk about my boys a little bit.
It was really fun.
How long did that run? Four seasons?
Yeah. It was great. I remember booking it. It was like my fifth. I had to go to five auditions.
God.
To test in front of network executives. And it was the most nerve-wracking experience
you've had testing, like going all the way through that process, or was that?
That one was crazy, but I also tested the year. Actually, the one after that was worse because I tested for some ABC show, but I had already done My Boys, but I had bought a house and I got married. And so when I tested for My Boys, I lived in a rent-controlled apartment by the beach. And I gave a shit, but I didn't give a shit.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I was married with, kid on the way, and a mortgage. And then I started to test for things, and I was like, I really gave a shit.
Yeah.
And that's not a great way to
test. You wear that desperation walking in there.
Yeah, they brought me back five times for something else, and then literally in front of ABC, ran it once, ate shit. Like, fucking ate shit, where I didn't sleep for like 2 days.
Really?
Motherfucker. Yeah, yeah.
And they called you back, or they gave you a
part? No, that was it. That day I was gone.
Wow.
I had killed it. It cut down to like two of us. He didn't get it either.
Yeah,
they went back to the whole casting pool and said, no, neither of those guys.
Wow. Really?
What, after well, like a month.
This was for My Boys?
No, it was for a different show. That was after My Boys.
What was that show?
It was just a show.
Oh, come on.
What no, it doesn't matter. No, it never went. It never aired. It never got picked up.
Sounds like they're very indecisive.
It never got picked up.
Well, had they cast Jamie, it would have gotten picked up.
It got picked up. Dude,
the irony of that is like...
That's
Hollywood.
They made you go tortured. All the way.
Tortured.
Wait, that's so and ridiculous. They wasted so many ridiculous. People's time.
So much
because you time. Went all the way to the end.
Think about it.
And then they went, nah, no one either.
Well, they went to the end and then went back to the beginning and went all the way through again.
And then they were after like, I ate shit, I walked out of the room and I turned to the other guy and I go, it's all yours, brother. Have fun. And then he didn't book it.
Well, because you probably fucked him in the head.
Well, he'd already gone in.
Oh, he went in the first.
The most classic thing is they were probably like, what do you think of this show? I don't know. It's kind of
like they probably shot the pilot and the pilot didn't get picked
up.
Plus,
they bring you back to test and I'm not joking when they tell you, they bring you in, they put you in a waiting room and you sit for 2 hours.
Well, the worst part about test.
They bring you into a room and then they run the scene once.
Well, the worst part of testing is you got to sign your contract before you go into test.
Oh, you have to sign the contract.
So you're going to see how much money you're going to make.
Oh, yeah. You know exactly how much you're making before you walk in the door.
That's crazy. What a mind fuck is that?
But it was only 40 grand a week. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Could you imagine signing a contract, you're going to pay 40 grand a week, and like, okay, now go interview for the job.
And then do the math of 23 episodes. And your brain starts to go, that's $920,000 fucking dollars if they say yes in this room and the show gets picked up. Yeah.
But there's so many obstacles.
Such a mind fuck, man.
But you know what the really,
but I'd already had four auditions.
Yeah, so you'd already gone
through. By that time, after four over a month, where they keep, you go in, you go, I think I killed it again, man. 2 days later, they call, they go, you're going back again. And then, you know, you have to wait five more days. Then you go back in, there's more people in the room.
Is the hardest part of that not changing what you did before?
Which
because you're going to overthink
it. I want to change it.
Yeah,
I want to do it. I go, I'll do it differently. And they go, don't.
Well, as an actor and a creative person and a comedian, yeah. You want to, it's like, okay, what can I do here to make fucking, this better? What can I do to make this better?
That's crazy.
You have to not, and they go, don't care. You know who doesn't care? Fucking sociopaths.
Yeah.
Most right. people care, or trust fund kids. Really rich, stupid,
you know,
rich
Kevin
kids.
Dillon from Entourage?
Yeah.
They knew that they wanted him for the part, and they made him audition eight times, not knowing right. like he didn't know that he got the part. Like from
no, they just want
right away. They just wanted him to go through. God. Like
sometimes people book it, they shoot the pilot, and then they get fired.
That's yeah. crazy.
And they go, hey,
what about Back to the Future guy? What about the guy that shot?
Well, he was
Eric Stoltz.
Oh my god, that's just like the most
no big deal.
Story.
That's just a franchise that has garnered. Millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah. Well, Joey, there was a different Joey on Friends,
there
right? In the pilot.
There was
a Joey?
Really? No.
Yeah, it wasn't a different Joey, but there was other people tested. Other people turned it down. There were people who turned down
Friends
because they were like, oh, it's an ensemble of six, and I can take this pilot and be the lead guy. Lisa Kudrow actually was fired from Frasier. She was Roz's part.
Wow.
Shot the pilot. They fired her. They picked it up, reshot it with the other girl, Roz. And then, you know, if she doesn't go on to book Friends, that's in the back of her mind of like, fuck, millions of dollars. I mean, millions of dollars, man. Millions.
Tens of millions.
Tens of millions of millions dollars. Millions
of tens dollars? Of millions of dollars.
But well, what was the name of that show that never aired?
Bad Mom.
Bad Mom.
Nobody ever knew it. Never ever. And what's funny is I was like, oh, so distraught. And then I talked to the producer years later, and he was like, oh, dude, nobody had a shot. It didn't matter. The pilot was a disaster from minute one.
The crazy thing is how things, like, get canned like that, but then how things, like, I just went and saw Ghostbusters, the all-female cast.
How was it?
It was terrible. It was like,
oh, really? I've heard it's good.
The special effects were good.
Sure.
But it was like, dude, it didn't make me laugh once. And, like, you know, I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan.
You know what's funny? I don't love, I like the original. Don't love it. It's not one of my favorite movies of all time.
Original's so good. Original's so good.
It's good. Venkman's good. I liked him when he's doing the little thing. But I wasn't a big sci-fi guy, I guess. I wasn't.
Well, yeah, but you didn't have to love sci-fi to love it. It's just clever writing.
I liked it.
Harold Ramis, right? He wrote that, right?
I like Harold Ramis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's like how that movie
sorely lacking.
He wrote Animal House with Doug Kenny and those guys from Lampoon.
But it's amazing that a movie like that, that does have a built-in audience, yada yada yada. But how do you just create complete bullshit and then put it on film and be like, yes, we're going to put millions of dollars into promoting this?
Listen, those girls are funny.
No,
they are.
It's hysterical,
but not in this movie.
I think Bridesmaids is one of the funniest films I've ever seen.
Bridesmaids is brilliant.
They milk every joke out of that scenario.
But a lot of that is funny because a lot of them were improvising.
Yeah, they didn't improvise much in this one?
No. And that's what makes it not funny. It's like very scripted. There's no chemistry.
Yeah, but you also don't know how much the studio had control over the final edit of that film.
There's a bunch of riots. It's the whole thing's.
It's one of those summer blockbusters where there's so much money involved.
They're all ridiculously funny people.
Oh, their cast.
No. The cast.
How many
amazing.
Funny people? Listen, watch Saturday Night Live. I've known a ton of people, as I'm sure Eddie has too, of people who are on SNL. They are the funniest people. They are chosen for a reason. And then you watch SNL and you're like, wow, it's just not working. Certain things don't work, and you're like,
what's the writing? A lot of it's the writing.
But the writers who are on SNL are the
hilarious.
Best fucking writers in town.
Because they're forced. They have to have a 4-minute sketch. You have to have a 7-minute sketch. You have to have a 3-minute sketch.
Then certain people
down to the time.
Yeah, but
Lauren
funny,
Michaels
but,
chooses.
Hold on.
What?
Funny is funny.
No. If you have a great 3-minute sketch, but it needs to fit in a 4-minute slot, you have to add a minute of material to that sketch.
But then
to get
3 minutes
the
those 3 minutes should be so but good that that last
it fucks the timing up.
The whole thing is it's just a tough premise nowadays because obviously it's so funny. It's a live show, but the best stuff on it is shot and edited and cut into a music video or a commercial parody. So many times they rely on game shows or the panel show or. You know,
but that's, I mean, those
they're still doing the same thing.
The film stuff they can rely on editing for the joke. They can rely on so many different mechanisms.
So nobody's listening. Nobody called us.
No, of course not. 818-602-4929.
I swear to God.
You're bullying our listeners.
I will bully them.
What listeners?
No, I'll tell you. They call when it's weird.
Then you say it.
They just don't like me. They don't like me.
I'm telling you. They call when we least expect the caller.
Well, one time we had
a... What rings? Is that a line ringing?
We had a call from Costa Rica. We've had a call from
It's been for the individual fan of whoever the, is on
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, but the last four calls have not been like that.
Well, we had the one high guy that called the wrong show.
Right? He still counts.
Let's start saying some crazy shit. Seriously.
All right, let me ask you this. What is the craziest audition you went through?
I had to rape a chair for Carnival.
Wow.
And I booked it.
Really?
Yeah. They had a folding chair. It was a flashback scene. It was Clancy. You know, remember Clancy Brown? Do you know who Clancy Brown is?
Mm-mm.
He's the guy from Highland who was like,
oh, yeah,
happy Halloween,
yeah,
please.
Yeah.
He's only been on every show.
Yeah.
He's in one of the greatest careers of all time, Clancy Brown. So there's a flashback scene, and they needed him. He rapes his sister in an episode of Carnival. It's just a flashback scene. And so I walk in for the audition, and there's four people in a room and a folding chair, and they go, look, this is – I know it's a little uncomfortable, but if you could – with the folding chair, and I go, absolutely. Never flinched, never missed a beat. I fucked the shit out of the chair for about a minute.
Did you really like grind on the chair?
Oh,
like
I ground
pound
the
it?
Shit. I raped the chair.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, no, I leaned on it. I was like, come on. And I'm like, fuck that chair. And then I did it for
Can
about
you
a
show
minute.
Us?
Nobody.
Did you get your dick caught on?
Use Eddie's chair.
Flinched, nobody laughed. They just watched me. And then at some point, I just totally stopped cold, and I was like, I think that's enough. And I walked out the door. And I ended up booking it. And then I had to – it was a flashback scene, so there wasn't really much dialogue. And
was there dialogue in the audition for the chair?
No.
So you just walked in?
Just raping a chair.
Wow.
And during the shoot, I met this lovely young lady, and we were dressed in, like, garb from the 1800s and had my hair slicked and parted in the middle like Johnny 1800 living in a log cabin.
Yeah, of course that's how you would do it.
Sure. And I was like, hi, it's nice to meet you. And she's like, hi, nice to meet you. And then within like 30 minutes, I was pulling her skirt up over her head and kind of fake raping her from behind.
Damn.
And then we did that, which was really, really uncomfortable. I wouldn't really commit. I was like, and then the director
like,
would come over.
Chair?
And go, the director would be like, you got to go for it. And I go, I know. And she'd be like, yeah, you got to go for it. And I'd be like, all right, shut up, you.
Shut up.
Now
I'm going to hard fake rape you.
And it was actually one of the hardest jobs I've ever had to do.
That seems really weird.
That's crazy.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Now, I think as an actor, too, it's like sometimes your best performance is not what the director chooses.
Do you open your reel up with that scene?
It's the only scene on my reel. It's a gif.
It's your avatar on your Facebook page.
Some people don't even realize it's a GIF, and they're like, wow, that guy can last forever. And I'm like, no, dude, it's a GIF. And they go, it's a GIF.
It's a two-second scene.
And scene.
And
see, we just had one right
good
there.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
I hope that makes the best of this show.
That was the best part of the show.
And it also says on IMDb you're a writer.
I have written. Well, we do stand up. We write that.
Well, that I'm talking movies, TV, anything.
Nothing you would have seen. A couple shorts. I've written some scripts that I've taken out that haven't been produced yet. But yeah.
All right. Just asking the question.
You have to write in this town, I think, Eddie. Isn't that the
you
way?
Have to.
Honestly, I don't want to write.
It's not my...
If somebody would just fucking hire me, I wouldn't write
I think
all.
I have the same attitude. Like, I write all the time, and I hate... Right? It's, like it's my least favorite thing.
Some people love it.
Why?
Do.
Yeah. Why?
I tried to write today for a couple hours.
But, like, you're in charge of your own lines. That's got to be great.
No. If I can write something that's getting produced that I'm going to star, that's... Yeah, I'll write it.
I've written
that's
stuff great. Excitedly and then showed it around, and people are like, yeah, it's pretty good. And you go, okay, so what happens next? And you go... Nothing.
Who can you get to be in it? Me? Well, that's not going to sell.
Yeah. Can you get... You know anybody? Can... Yeah.
No, I don't mind writing something I'm going to do, but it's just to write stuff too. To... Well,
so you're saying you don't like to write not knowing what the outcome will be.
I used to do that's sketch, it. And those I knew I was producing, and I wrote them, and they were on stage and stuff.
But there's so many shitty writers in TV and film.
Sure.
Yeah, but I like to perform.
But you'd
rather perform shitty
writers.
Material than write good material?
I'd rather perform someone else's shitty material than write good material for somebody else.
Okay, wait a minute.
And make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You would rather, you'd rather, let's say you wrote Shawshank Redemption.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's just say.
Okay.
That's, to me, like one of the best movies ever made. All right. You would rather... You'd rather perform.
It's an adaptation.
You'd rather perform Ghostbusters.
Yes, for billions of dollars.
No. Let's say there's no money involved.
I would rather be in whatever crappy movie you can think of than
Ghostbusters.
I'd rather be in Ghostbusters, making millions of dollars performing someone else's shitty lines.
Listen, by the way, I am not on board this whole Ghostbusters is bad thing. I haven't seen it yet. I've heard it's good.
Any crappy movie. Howard the Duck.
I'll see it.
The original Howard the Duck movie. I'd rather would have been in Howard the Duck.
That was a good movie, though.
It was?
I mean, it was classic.
I know Jason Alexander, and I like him, and I like that movie.
Yeah.
I will not say anything bad about it.
What's a movie we can all agree on that's terrible? What's a terrible movie we can all agree on?
Oh, okay. I got it. It's called The Blade Warrior. It's Jackie Chan. Just came out last year.
Okay.
Jackie Chan, Adrian Brody, and John Cusack.
Sounds awesome.
In a first century battle, Cusack plays a Roman general.
Why wouldn't
Adrian Brody is the Roman emperor.
Yeah, I can see
and
that.
And Jackie Chan is running the Asian town John Cusack tries to bring his
Sounds
troops
awesome.
In for relief. John Cusack is playing it totally like dead straight. But he's like 90s... angst guy in the first century as a Roman general. Jackie Chan is saying words that you recognize as English, but he doesn't know what he's saying. Somebody taught him phonetically the words he's saying, and he'd speak like this, and then John Cusack's like, it's like he's smoking a cigarette in high fidelity. Have to watch it.
I want to see it now.
It's the greatest worst film I've ever
I want to see that so much.
It's on cable.
I just watched San Andreas. That was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. That was really bad.
It's totally bad. But did you think it was going to be good?
No. Okay. I watched it knowing it was going to be bad.
Like, it's fun bad.
Yeah, it's fun bad. But you're watching it and you're like, this is... Like, I don't understand how a movie like that... Like, you put so much money into the special effects, but you can't put a little bit more money into the script. I mean, just a little bit.
Like, he's like...
Like, save one of the buildings from crashing. Like, let's cut that.
He's like, my job's to help Los Angeles, but you know what? I don't give a shit. I'm taking this city helicopter and I'm going up to San Francisco and grabbing my wife.
Yes.
How about doing your job, dude?
All right, so Eddie, you would rather act in San Andreas or...
I'd rather be in San Andreas 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Then
write one Shawshank Redemption and have someone else act it.
Crazy. That is nuts. That's crazy.
That's how much I hate writing.
Shawshank.
Oh, man. If I wrote Shawshank Redemption and nobody ever saw it, I would die knowing that I wrote the greatest movie that nobody ever saw. But that movie is the best movie.
I don't get any joy out of writing.
It's a great movie.
And it's like, if you're a writer and you acted on something that is so good like that.
It's so the perfect everything.
It's the perfect...
Because
dude,
it's not even
I
the best...
I love this guy. I'm giving
it's
you
It's not even
five.
The best Stephen King book.
No.
It's a Stephen King book, but it's No, it's might be the best translation of it.
I think it's the best. When people ask me, what's your favorite movie?
Oh, yeah.
It's Shawshank Redemption.
It's a perfect movie. But if you gave me the choice where I could write that and have someone else act in it.
I did a gig in Ohio, and the prison was that they shot it in.
Oh, is the Shawshank?
Yeah, the actual Shawshank was a boys' reformatory or whatever. I mean, that was a prison, and it was in. So I got a tour of it, of the building.
That's awesome.
And they had built certain things, but you could see like the
the yard. Lines? You're like red.
Yeah, I did. You know what I ran was the. You know when a guy goes, I like it when they fight. Yeah. You know, and he rapes the guy in the and sometimes Andy would fight back, and sometimes he wouldn't. And he goes, he put that in my mouth. I'm going to bite it off. I would reenact that scene a lot. Just solo. I would do it as a one-man show.
I would get a dildo and reenact that scene.
Okay, back to you, Eddie. You'd rather act in a San Andreas 1-2-3-4-5 than
write
Shawshank Redemption, knowing somebody else.
Yeah.
Oh, you're crazy.
Well, if you knew Shawshank was going to be that good, yeah, you'd want to write that.
No, but that's... You had to know it was going to be that good just reading it.
But what's the best original script of all time?
Pulp Fiction.
Not even close. I do love Pulp Fiction. Don't get me wrong. I think Pulp Fiction's an amazing...
There's nothing like it, though.
It's so good. It's really...
So give me another one.
Good
Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting's a great one.
I just gave you two.
I mean, Casablanca still is amazing.
I need to see.
You never seen Casablanca?
I haven't seen a lot of the classics. Wow. I've missed a lot of the classics.
I would even go with...
I'm going back.
Brilliant, The Usual Suspects.
That's a great script.
I'd say The Sixth Sense.
For best script of all time?
I'm saying great scripts that really are really perfect from beginning to end.
Forrest Gump?
Animal House, I would hold up as one of the best scripts of all time. Because here's what's weird: whenever a comedy in the third act, usually the third act falls apart.
Yeah, most comedies.
Like Stripes is great, and then the third act is a disaster.
Well, because they always have to go on some weird wild chase or some crazy.
They never can bring it home.
Adventure.
Groundhog Day, I would say, is a brilliant script.
Great movie, still not better than Pulp Fiction to me.
I love Pulp Fiction.
What do you think is the best screenplay, original screenplay?
My issue with... I mean, I love Pulp Fiction except for the taxi cab scene and then laying in bed talking. Like, that part I just snooze on for some reason. If you take out that section of Pulp Fiction...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great dialogue-wise, but story-wise, it's not brilliant.
I'd say Toy Story, too.
Story...
There's so many animated...
Not two.
No, one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, Toy Story, T-O-O.
And Toy Story 3 is amazing. The Incredibles. I think The Incredibles is my favorite. Pixar.
Most of those Pixar movies are so...
script.
They're just well-written. They're so well-written. I mean, that's...
have it.
Okay,
the best screenplay of all time is The Sting. And you've never seen it.
I've never seen it. Classic.
I can't even talk.
Should we end the show?
Seriously.
Are we going to end the show?
That might be the end of the show. How have you not seen The Sting?
Dude, classic movies I have not seen a lot of.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, they teach it.
I know, but...
It's a William Goldman one.
I'm going back now because I love
films Bridge so and the much. River Kwai.
Let me just give you a little...
The Godfather,
I just watched The Godfather 1 and 2 6 months ago.
What the fuck is wrong with
you? I know, but I loved it.
What's wrong with you?
But you know what? I've got three at the house right now.
You wasted... You went and saw the new Ghostbusters, but you haven't seen all the other ones.
Yeah, what is wrong with you?
Well, because I want to see what's happening
now.
Turner
classic movie. Breaking Away was just on the other day. Diner.
Diner's a great movie.
Oh, my God. Barry Levinson, Diner.
No, I've never seen
Mickey
that.
Rourke, early Mickey Rourke.
I'm going back and watching all the old movies.
Breaking Away?
I didn't see Breaking Away. What's Breaking Away?
The four guys living in Indiana, and they get in the bicycle race with the kids from Indiana. It won Best Screenplay that year. Best Picture.
I never saw that one.
Dennis Quaid's first movie.
Really?
Yeah, Dennis Christopher and the four kids. They're the townies, and they enter the little 500 bicycle race. Breaking Away, you fucking idiot.
I'll go see it. I haven't seen that one.
I don't put it
on the same level as The Sting.
It's pretty close, actually.
Let me ask you.
Breaker Morant.
As far as movies you need
greatest
to have seen.
Greatest movie of all time, you guys both say The Sting?
No. I'm saying the best screenplay of all.
Okay, best. Okay,
because it's It's a con film, and it's perfect. Perfect.
Okay. So I'm gonna watch that. It's going to be...
Best movie of all time?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is this what you guys do every... Nobody's listening anyway. Who the fuck
doesn't matter. Just say what you want
to
say.
I mean, everyone goes with it. Still to this day, I watch The Godfather over. I watched The Epic just recently where they add the added scenes and stuff.
I think Godfather 2 is even better than the first one.
Yeah. I think it's a better movie. I don't argue with that. My favorite personal movie, it's, I don't know why, there's a maybe a couple. The Great Escape is one of my favorite movies of all time. Bridge on the River Kwai, Dirty Harry, for some reason.
Smoking the Bandit.
Fucking love. Smoking the Bandit's great.
Smoking the Bandit's a great movie. Might not be a better comedic performance in the history of comedy than Jackie Gleason as Buford T. Justice.
Yeah. How about...
I'm going to go home and punch your mother in the mouth.
How about The Hustler with Jackie Gleason and Paul Newman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minnesota Fast.
Dude, how about Cool Hand Luke?
I haven't seen
Cool Hand. You're a fucking dick. No, seriously.
I'm a musician. I've been doing music all my life.
That's like me saying, oh, Frank Sinatra? I never heard him.
He went to all your favorite concerts.
Name me five Frank Sinatra songs.
Easy.
Go ahead. That's not one of them.
My Way.
Right.
That's Life. The names, I can sing them.
No. I want the names.
My Way. That's Life. The Lady's a Tramp.
New York, New York.
No, you can't help the guy. Come on.
That was obvious. He was going to say that one anyway.
That's obvious. That does not count. We'll have to strike that from the record. It's been eliminated.
Hoboken.
Summer Wind.
I think you made that one up.
Summer Wind came rolling in.
No, I'm just kidding.
Across the bay.
Oh, I love it. Just sing us out, man. Sing us out.
What's the other one? I know fucking tons of Sinatra.
You've got four. See? Dude, no, Frank Sinatra,
no,
man.
More, I got more Sinatra.
Uh-huh.
Bellari? No, hey, that's Dean Martin.
No, it's not Sinatra.
And we're all out of
time.
No,
we're not. I'll trust me.
Dude, I can't believe that you talk some shit.
Please, I just ripped off four. Sinatra.
And I took away New York,
to be
fair.
Yes,
No, keep going. Because, listen, I'm tired. It's late. I have two kids. But I am
He's usually asleep by now.
I'm going to keep... keep going with the conversation.
We're running out of time.
And I'll punch more Sinatra as we go.
Where are you performing next for comedy? And what's your upcoming project? And where can people
find you? Nobody's listening, so I don't know. Wyoming.
Dads in Park. Let's talk about Dads in Park.
Dads in Parks that Eddie has done with me. Now my brain is only...
Eddie and you have done Dads in Parks?
Yeah. He has this web series.
This web series called Dads in Parks. Go YouTube, Jamie Kaler. Dads in Parks.
Very funny.
There's 40 episodes up online.
Jamiekael.
Kaeler.
Sorry.
I have a podcast called Father Time. That I just Jason Alexander did, and Joel McHale did, and Eddie's going to do soon, and that is on howl.fm, which is part of the Earwolf world. And stand up wise, I'm doing, I guess next week I'm doing West Side Comedy. I'm doing a Let's Stop the Violence benefit. Is that what it's called? Maybe
something like that.
Next, increase the peace.
Is it? Oh, it's this Thursday.
It's this Thursday, right?
This Thursday, West Side Comedy. They're doing a
it's
great
this
thing.
Week.
Raising money to end gun violence.
So you're going to show up next week when the show's not going on.
No, I'm going to show up next week and just do a one-man show. I do the gay bull scenes from Shawshank Redemption as a gif.
This dildo. And he rapes the stool.
That's awesome.
What's the song he does with his daughter that's really creepy, Sinatra, where he...
I don't know. You tell me.
What's the name of it? I know the names are
all. You got 10 seconds because we got to sign out.
No, don't sign out.
But honestly, Jamie, you've been a great guest.
Check out Dads in Parks on YouTube.
Thanks for having me.
JamieKaler.com.
Dads in Parks.
Eddie, it's good to have you back, man.
Dads in Parks.
You only got four songs.
New York. I took it from him.
Well, no.
New York, New York was one of the four.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. I thought there was another one in there.
No, he's only got three now.
We've lost listeners. We didn't have any to begin with, but we've lost.
Damn, I didn't.
Word is spread not to tune in.
That's life.
Well, Jamie.
That's what people say. That's life.
That's life?
That's five.
There you go. Four. Bam. Out of the park.
Did I already say that's life? No, that's my fifth.
No, it was his fifth. He had four.
What were all of them?
Dude, I can't.
Come on.
Shut the fuck up. By the way, that's like if you said to the, like I did that with my wife where I was like, hey, name two Yankees. I didn't go fucking name five Yankees. You go name three, cock. Yeah. Everything's in
five.
Three.
Five is always a standard.
That's how I know
number.
You're not a comedy guy. You're a musician because it's three. Everything's in threes.
Threes and sevens. No one says name seven of anything.
Three Paul Newman
seven,
movies.
Seven. I can name three Paul Newman.
And don't name the ones I already just
ripped off. Color of Money.
That's a good one. What's special about that one? That's the one he won the Academy Award for.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Best Supporting.
Really?
Finally, after he'd been nominated.
The big makeup
so many
one,
times.
Yeah.
He was good in that movie.
He's really good in
That's
it.
That's like a badass.
It's a sequel to...
I don't know.
Oh
my God.
Cool Hand Luke?
No.
You don't know what it's a sequel to?
He's the cool guy. He's the hustler.
Oh,
Jackie Gleason.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
Color Money,
honestly,
Tom Cruise.
Here's what's funny. I kind of envy you. I wish I could go back.
That's what I'm doing now.
And watch. Like, when I get Alzheimer's, I'm going to be so excited because every you movie you're going to be like, hey, I never saw The Godfather
this
before.
Is amazing.
And people are going to go, no, you didn't.
Dude,
I go, no.
Watching it, honestly, I'll tell you, like, watching The Godfather, like, it just never interested me when I was a little kid, and there were so many other movies
it's
I was
so
watching.
Good,
like,
dude.
I watched every 80s movie. Like, I've seen 80s movies that most people have never seen.
You know? So many of them are so John Hughes. They still hold up.
Yeah, they're
some
amazing.
Of them. Some of
but
them.
But
watch don't.
Going back and watching The Godfather, I was like, this is an amazing movie.
It's a great movie.
And Godfather
go back,
2,
go back even further.
Better.
Watch movies from the 30s and 40s and 50s.
That's
hard.
What I'm trying to do right
I
now.
Just watched White Heat, the Jimmy Cagney yeah. one, which is pretty famous. That's you know the one. It's a famous.
You
line.
Have to.
You would know lines from them where yeah. he's like, "I'm on the
top,
top
of the world,
Mom.
Top
yeah,
of the world."
White Heat. It's Jimmy Cagney. And
top of the world.
It's tough to get through sometimes.
Sometimes they are, but
I've been watching Bogart lately.
You have to.
I
like,
watched Petrified Forest the other night, where he's like, oh. he's barely. He's just this young guy in it, but it's crazy. Yeah. They're hard to get through.
Well, you gotta turn off part of your brain yeah. and try to
put yourself
we're,
back.
We're just
then.
So used to the way things are edited and shot now.
Yeah,
like, you gotta.
There's
like,
no car chases and no crazy fucking special
things. Take forever. Like yeah. they do. There's a lot of setup.
I miss it.
There's a lot of setup.
I just saw The Infiltrator, the Bryan Cranston one that's out, about he chases Pablo Escobar. And it reminded me of a movie from the 80s where you're like, it's story-based. There's no crazy car chases. It's just this guy. It's a slow burn. But it's fucking
it's
great.
Amazing. That's what I miss. That's what
and
I miss.
Any movie that has Eminence Front in the soundtrack, do you know from The Who?
Yeah.
It's an Eminence Front. It's a put on. Fucking blows me away. That and All Along the Watchtower. Any movie with All Along the Watchtower.
That's true.
Like, here we go.
Especially Jimi Hendrix.
All right. Thank you
guys.
Guys,
thanks for having me, man.
Jamie Kaler, jamiekaler.com. Check him out. Bye,
we'll
everybody.
See you next week.